Dr. Clay, Heather, morning.
Morning. How is everybody? Thank you, brother. Hey, y'all excited to be here? One was in the home. You excited to be here on this? What Sunday did Matthew tell us it is?
Palm
Sunday. Not the tree in the south of Florida, right? But a true palm leaf riding experience from our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we celebrate that this Sunday. The title of your message today is this: Jesus, the Humble King. Jesus, the Humble King. I don't know about you, but I could use more in the humble department than what I have right now. How about you guys? We all struggle with that, don't we? We all struggle with being humble and gracious in our lives, don't we? Hey, your main scripture today is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 28 through 40. NIV version says it this way. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, and just as he had told them, as they were untying the colt, the owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' I tell you," he replied, "if they quit, or if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Who will cry out? If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Hey, I ask you today, are you needing the stones to cry out for you? Are you not praising Jesus enough as we should be? I know a lot of times we get stuck in the world, don't we? And get lost in it. And we forget our joyousness and our happiness that God brings us, amen? And our humbleness sometimes. So don't be the rock. Be the loud one yelling his name, amen? And that's going to be our main scripture today. But your first scripture is going to come from the book of Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 1 through 2, and also 19 through 29. Says this, Psalm 118, 1 through 2 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, 'His love endures forever.'" Verse 19 says, "Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he," I'll get that word out, "blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord will bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in his hand, joining in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and what? His love endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. How many of y'all glad that God's good and endures forever? Amen. How many of y'all at home are glad God endures forever? Amen. All right, let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. May it be your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your words, not mine, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the blessing and the message that you have for us, Lord. Lord, as you sent Jesus for our cross salvation, Lord, for him to be joyfully accepted during that entrance, Lord. Lord, may we continue to praise his holy name today, Lord. May he continue to be our love, Lord. And may he continue to be good and endure forever, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Oh, thank you about this, guys. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, don't we? A day when we remember your triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. As we gather today, we're going to open our hearts and our minds to your word. May we encounter the truth and the beauty of the Psalm 118. And may it speak to us powerfully as we follow Christ to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Palm Sunday. Awesome day, isn't it? Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week for us. The final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. As we reflect on this day today, we remember the crowds laying down their palm branches and the shouting, Hosanna! 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 As Jesus rode into Jerusalem. This moment is itself a mix of celebration and anticipation, isn't it? For they were welcoming a king that they thought would deliver them from the political oppressions that they were going through. Yet Jesus himself, his mission was definitely far greater than that, wasn't it? And his path would lead him to the cross for each one of us here today. Psalm 118, we hear the voice of both thanksgiving and trust in God, set against a backdrop of suffering and a backdrop of victory. This psalm was likely sung during the festival of Passover time. Y'all remember Passover, right? It was a time when Israel celebrated God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. As we read Psalm 118, we find it not only pointed back to God's faithfulness in the past, but it also foreshadowed his ultimate deliverance that would come through Jesus. So let's explore Psalm 118 a little bit more so we can deepen our understanding of this Palm Sunday that we're searching through right now. Because it truly is a call to give thanks, isn't it? Psalm 118 begins with a call to worship and thanksgiving. Psalmist encourages us to remember God's enduring goodness and his steadfast love. As the people of Israel were led into the Passover land, or promised land, sorry about that. People of Israel were led into the promised land. They recited these words to honor God and his faithfulness. These words were also deeply fitting for us today as we approach the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus came, guys, not just to fulfill a promise of the political king, but to embody the unshakable love of God himself. As we wave our palm branches this Sunday, we are not just remembering a historical event, are we? We're giving thanks for the eternal goodness of God revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. His love endures us forever, don't it? And this is why we can shout, Hosanna! 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 With confidence, knowing that he is the fulfillment of God's promises. We can also be rejoicing in that deliverance from God. Psalmist calls us for the open the gate. That's a picture of us entering into God's presence and receiving His salvation. On Palm Sunday, we witness Jesus entering Jerusalem through the gates of the city, fulfilling prophecy and presenting Himself as a Savior who brings salvation. Not through a political revolution, though, was it? But it was through a sacrificial love for each one of us today. Amen? Verse 22, the psalmist writes, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This verse is famously quoted by Jesus Himself in the Gospels. He is a rejected stone. The one who would be mocked. The one who would be beaten. The one who would be crucified. Amen. But guess what, guys? He would also become the cornerstone of God's kingdom. On Palm Sunday, the people did not fully understand that, did they? They saw a king who would save them from the Roman oppression. But they did not yet grasp that He was about to offer them eternal deliverance from death and from sin. Yes, and yet, as we know, the stone that was rejected becomes the cornerstone of God's new covenant. This is why we rejoice on this Palm Sunday. Not just because of the cheers and the promises and praises of the crowd there, right? But because we all know that the true salvation of God was drawing near through Jesus' journey to the cross for us. We also see that the King is triumphant. Amen. The declaration is echoed through the crowds on Palm Sunday. I'll get that word out. As they shout again, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!" Which means save now. They recognize Jesus as the King, even if their understanding of His kingship was limited. Yet the psalmist's words also call for the people of Israel to recognize the true nature of the King who comes in the name of the Lord. It's not just any king, though, is it? Amen? It's the one, the King, the only King, right, who brings the salvation. Psalm 118 ends with a declaration of praise. "The Lord is good, and He has made His light shine on us." This is the light that shines in our darkest of the world, offering us peace, grace, and salvation. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is a foretaste of the light that would shine even more brightly as He gave His life on that cross for each one of us. The cross itself would be the ultimate victory, where Jesus would defeat sin and death forever. Amen. And the gates of salvation would be open for who? For all of us who believe. The gates of salvation are open for all of us who believe in Him. Amen. Palm Sunday invites us to reflect on this triumphal entry of Jesus. But it also invites us to look beyond the praises of the crowd. The journey to the cross is about to begin. And the true victory that Jesus brings is one of that transcends any of our earthly expectations. As we hold our palm branches, let us remember the triumph of Christ, who came not to overthrow an earthly empire, right? But He came to conquer sin and death for us. Let us, like the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. Let us enter into His gates with thanksgiving, knowing that our salvation has been secured in Christ forever. Let us proclaim with joy, "Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. May this Palm Sunday lead us to a deeper understanding of the King as we worship the salvation that He offers us and the ultimate triumph of God's love for us. We praise You, Lord, for that salvation. You have brought us through Jesus Christ. As we wave our palm branches today, may our hearts be filled with true joy, knowing that the King we welcome is the Savior of the world. Amen. Guide us through the Holy Week. Prepare our hearts to follow Jesus to the cross, because He truly comes in peace for us. Again, Palm Sunday, not just any sweet moment, is it? With palm branches and celebration, right? But it is truly a divine act of fulfillment. In Luke 19, 28 through 40, Jesus rides into Jerusalem as the King, as the promised King, as the Lamb of God, as the Prince of Peace, amen? This event's theologically rich, isn't it? It's deeply rooted in the Old Testament, and it's pivotal to God's redemptive plan for each one of us. Let's walk through the passage real fast in three parts to uncover the biblical theological significance in each one of them. First part is this: the King's preparation. After Jesus has said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus' sovereignty in salvation history. Jesus instructs about the colt. His instructions about the colt are not just about logistics, is it? But they highlight His divine foreknowledge and His sovereign control. Like God, during preparing the Passover lamb in Exodus 12, Jesus prepares His own path to the cross behind me. He's not a victim of history, is He? But He is the Lord of history for us, fulfilling a plan before the foundation of the world. You also see the Messianic fulfillment of it. The donkey signals humility. The donkey signals peace. And unlike Roman kings, Jesus doesn't come to take power, amen, but He comes to give His life for us. Zechariah 9:9 points to a righteous and victorious King, bringing salvation not through domination, amen, but through gentleness and righteousness. The colt was never ridden, was it? That's a symbolic, as a sacred use. Jesus rides a set-apart vehicle, that being that colt. Like the ark was carried, like the ark was carried in the prescribed manner that it was. We also see the covenant obedience. The disciples themselves, obedience echoes the pattern of biblical faith. When God speaks, His people respond. Is He speaking to you today? Are you responding today? Amen. This moment sets the stage for a new exodus. Jesus is about to lead His people out. Amen. Not from Egypt, right, like God already did. But Jesus is about to lead His people out from death and sin. And we also see the King presentation. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. We see a new King, a new Davidic King. Jesus is entering David's city, not as a military warrior, right? But as the Son of David. By riding on the donkey and entering to cheers, Jesus is claiming kingship in line with God's covenant with David, tying everything together, amen? Tying the Old Testament and New Testament together. We also see the echo of Psalm 118. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, is a direct quote from Psalm 118:26. The psalmist associated with the Feast of the Tabernacles and the Messianic expectations. Psalm 118 is part of the halal song for sung during Passover. Jesus is being welcomed as the ultimate deliverer for us today. We also see the true nature of the kingdom. The people expected liberation from Rome, didn't they? But guess what, guys? Jesus came to bring spiritual freedom for him and a spiritual kingdom, not Roman. His kingship fulfills Daniel 7:13-14, where the Son of Man is given dominion, not just over Israel, amen, but over all the peoples and nations. And we see a foretaste of what the new creation is going to look like. The crowd joy echoes Isaiah 55:12. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. This is a creation rejoicing in the presence of the true King. And the entry prefigures Revelation 7:9-10, where people from every nation wave palm branches before the throne of the God, of the throne of the Lamb. Amen. Are y'all excited for that today? We also see the King's power and the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." What did he say? "Not so fast. Not so fast," right? We see the Pharisees again with their religious blindness. Though they were religious experts, weren't they? They failed to see what the humble disciples and the crowds perceived themselves. Fulfilling Isaiah 6:9-10. Hearing, they do not understand. Seeing, they do not perceive. Jesus exposes their spiritual blindness, don't he? And their resistance of God's redemptive plans. We also see the creation's longing and a response. Jesus says, remember what he said at the end that we were talking? What was it? If they keep quiet, what's going to happen? The stones will cry out. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If we keep quiet, the stones will cry out for us. This is more of a poetic language, isn't it? It reflects Romans 8:19-22, where creation groans for redemption. The triumphal entry is not just a political act, is it? But it is a cosmic event all around. Even creation itself knows that the King has come. The King has risen on that donkey. Everybody knows the King is coming. Amen. And we see Jesus truly as the true temple. The Pharisees see the celebrations as blasphemy. But Jesus embodies the true temple. The presence of God is no longer in a building. Amen. It's no longer in the building. But it is. The presence of God is in a person, isn't it? The people are rightly worshiping because the glory of God has returned to Jerusalem. This time, not in a cloud, right? It wasn't in a cloud, right? But on a what? It was on a donkey. It was on a donkey. The true God returns on a donkey to Jerusalem. Jesus truly is the humble and triumphant King. Palm Sunday is not about temporary triumph. Amen? But it is truly about eternal truth. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, as a Davidic King, fulfilling covenant promises, as a suffering servant, heading towards the cross, as the Passover lamb, to be sacrificed for our sins, as the final temple, the dwelling place of God and as the Messiah who brings peace through His blood. We need to worship the King rightly. Not just with celebration, right? But we need to worship the King with surrender in our own hearts and our own lives. Amen? We need to embrace His kingdom values. We need to embrace our humility, the sacrifice, and the obedience for Him, to Him. And we need to live in anticipation for His return. For the King who came in peace will again come one day in glory. On this Palm Sunday, let us join with that crowd again. Not merely with palm branches, right? But with hearts surrendered to the King who came to die, who rose to reign, and will return to restore. Let the rocks be silent today. Amen. Let the redeemed proclaim, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And again, this passage. And today is the beginning of Holy Week, a time when Christians reflect on the final days of Jesus' earthly ministry. We see Jesus making His final entry into Jerusalem. But unlike the earthly kings who rode in with fanfare and military might, Jesus comes on that humility, don't He? He comes on the donkey, low form of transportation. Yet the people erupt in praise, don't they? Again, they lay down their cloaks and shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This moment teaches each one of us about the true character of Christ and the nature of His kingdom and the proper response of our hearts. We see Jesus is a sovereign King who fulfills a prophecy. Jesus instructs two disciples again to go get that colt, didn't they? That had never been ridden. Everything happens exactly as He said. There wasn't any deviation, was it? They went in there, donkey was tied up exactly where He said it would be. Amen? This action fulfills Zechariah 9:9. Again, "Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is He, humble and mounted on a donkey." Jesus is not an accidental hero, is He? Or a victim of history. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is not an accidental victim or hero or a victim of history. He truly is a sovereign Savior fulfilling God's plan for each one of us for eternity. We can trust His Word and His control over our lives. Do you recognize Him today? Do you recognize Jesus as the King who knows and directs all things? He truly is that humble King who comes in peace. A donkey was a symbol of peace at that time, wasn't it? Not war. Earthly kings would ride war horses. Jesus rode a lowly animal. He didn't enter with violence, did He? But he entered with gentleness and humility, offering salvation for anybody that would believe in Him. That salvation is still good today, right? For anybody that will believe in Him. Maybe we should get off our donkey and accept what He's given us today. Jesus' kingdom is not about domination, but it is about transformation. He conquers the hearts, didn't He? He conquers hearts, not territories. Have you welcomed the peace of Christ in your life? Or are you still expecting Him to operate by worldly powers? He truly deserves our loudest praise, don't He? The whole crowd of disciples rejoiced, praising God with loud voices for the miracles that they had seen. They quoted Psalms 118:26, acknowledging that Jesus, as the Messiah, sent to us from God. Worship is a natural response to encountering the King. Our praise should be joyful, passionate, and public. Are you holding back on your worship? Or are you giving God, Jesus, the honor that He truly deserves? Because guys, guess what? If we don't praise Him, creation will. If you don't praise God, creation will. Amen. When the Pharisees told Jesus to rebuke His disciples, remember what He said? He replied, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." The praise of Jesus is unstoppable. He is that glorious. Jesus is that glorious that the praise of Him is unstoppable. Don't let your rocks cry praise for you. Let your life be a song of worship to our King. What's keeping you from fully expressing your praise and your loyalty to Jesus? Again, Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus is a different kind of King, isn't He? He's not about pomp or politics. He's not about that type of celebration, is He? But He is truly about humility. He's about peace. He's about truth. Amen? But make no mistake, He is truly the King of Kings. And He deserves all glory that we can give Him. As we enter into this Holy Week, let us lay down our cloaks. Let's lay down our pride. Let's lay down our expectations, our sins, and lift up our voices in worship, because He is truly worthy to be worshipped, isn't He? For the believer, renew your surrender to the King. Make this Holy Week a time of deep worship and reflection. For the seeker that may be hearing this message, Jesus is the King who doesn't come to condemn you, right? But He come to save us. Will you receive Him into your life today? As we come for the final psalm, let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allowing Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the blessing in Your message today, Lord. Lord, I just ask You that You put it on our heart today, Lord. Lord, that we would truly be able to be humble like Jesus, Lord. Lord, that we would not let the world rob our praise, Lord. Rob our celebration of You, Jesus. Of Your time, triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Lord. Lord, I pray that each one of us would all day today just shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." As we praise You, Lord, we know that You sent Your Son to die on that cross for us, Lord. Lord, we know that Your love is for us. Would be unattainable without that death on that cross and the burial and the resurrection, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Week that You started on this Palm Sunday, Lord. Because of the fact that You truly love us, no matter what we might have done, Jesus. Lord, we ask You right now, Lord, if anybody online or here is seeking to know You, Lord, we ask it, they just ask You into their heart, Lord. Turn from their sins, Lord. Lord, and accept that You truly are the Son of God, Jesus. That You died on that cross for Him, Lord. That You raised 3 days later for Him, Jesus. Lord, that's all it takes to be saved, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.